Hello, it is August 11th, 2015. You are looking live at Athens, Georgia. This is episode 519 of the Will Leach Experience podcast. On Sports on Earth, I am the aforementioned Will Leach, and I thank you for spending part of your day with me. Hope your August is going well. I feel like this August is never going to end, but maybe that's because it's been 105 degrees by 10 a.m. every day for about 3 months in Athens, Georgia. We're going to have two podcasts a week until football starts, actually. I'll still continue to be doing the podcast here with Allison, I believe every week, as long as schedules permit. But in addition, we'll be having an extra podcast every week. This week, it's going to be Andy Behrens. This is an annual podcast, third annual, by the way. This podcast has been going on for 3 years. That's crazy, really. But Andy Behrens of Yahoo, he'll be doing our big fantasy football preview that we do every year. So he'll be on later this week, along with trivia. So I hope you enjoy that. And in addition to that, we're going to have Allison today. We're going to talk some baseball stuff. Forgive me, I'm probably going to be very uncomfortable on this podcast, and I'm going to warn you in advance as to why. I had something on my wall that had to be fixed, so I got the Gorilla Glue. You ever use the Gorilla Glue? It fixes, you know, plastics and metals. Not so much metals, but plastics, you know, together. Things that break. It fixes them very easily, which is the good news. The bad news is if you get it on your fingers, it will not come off for like days on end. I've put like nail polish remover. I've kept my hands. I'm glad I've had my writing done for the day because I've kept my hands. I couldn't type anything right now. I could barely even set up the Skype for this podcast. I put my hands in warm water. It will not come off. But so this may, forgive me on this, but I have not gone to the bathroom in like 2 hours just because I'm afraid of if that goes wrong, the ramifications could be extreme. So I'm a little shifty already, and we're about to start this podcast with Allison. So bear with me. If you hear groans or grumblings or grunts or all sorts of situations, that's just my discomfort because I'm afraid to go to the bathroom. We should probably start this with Allison now. All right, Allison, welcome back from San Francisco. You've been in one of our mutual favorite cities all weekend. Though you didn't go to the, you went to the other baseball stadium, right?
I went to the other one. I wanted to get the experience to. I went to O.co, I guess they call it, the A's ballpark. I went there once 2 years ago for work, just for one game. But I didn't really get like the true experience of watching a game from there. And I wanted to take Bart over and just like do the whole thing to make sure I had the lay of the land in case I actually needed to do this, you know, for work. And so I did it. And wow, that's just not a good place. That they need to get out of there someday. That may be kind of sad because I think the A's have a good organization, and that's just not a good ballpark.
It's not a good ballpark compared to other ballparks. But I still like. I've been there. You're right. It's not very good. But you know, it's outdated and there's the tarp and it's weird. But like, I have to say, like, even the worst stadium, I still have like a best time in. Like, I've yet to like go to be like, okay, this stadium is so bad that I don't want to be here.
You know, I've never said that before. Even like, I heard about like the Rays Stadium, and everyone would say, "Oh, it's a terrible place." And I went there, and I was like, "Well, I kind of like it here." And of course, the working conditions were very good. And I tend to try not to base my judgments on the working conditions, but it is. I mean, that's what you know. It's on there to work, and I found it to be very pleasant. And you know, I've really not encountered any place where I'm like, "Oh my God!" And I really felt that way when I was there in Oakland 2 years ago for work, and then here, I don't know. It's
was
you know
they're attacking you. Like I mean, it's not a Raiders game. I mean, you know. I mean, it's still. I mean,
it was just. It was really hard to get to. I mean, you know, you get off BART and then I don't know. It just nothing made sense. We were walking. We were trying to get to where we needed to be just to get the tickets to get in. Yeah. It was very very convoluted and confusing. And then we just went. It's just dingy and. I mean, it's everything that you hear about. It's not like you walk in expecting some fabulous place because it's not. But yeah, I would like to see them be able to have a new stadium, new shiny, fun place to play in, like everybody else got in this country.
All right. Well, all they have to do is completely screw the taxpayers, like everybody else did in this country.
And, exactly.
They'll be able to get one. So
America, man.
So, exactly. But well, I hope you had a great time. I'm a sucker for any baseball stadium. I'm going to Arizona in a couple of weeks to knock off. Then I only have 4 stadiums left
I've
been to. So I'm knocking off Arizona in 2 weeks. But I'm sure we'll talk about that when we get there. One thing I want to talk about today, I wrote a column today. I'm curious about. And you were in the stands for this or you were at work? You were in the stands for the game, right?
Stands, yes.
Okay. So you, because One of the many reasons I enjoy talking to you is, you know, you spend more time in the press box than I do, but certainly we've both spent time. I've spent my fair share of time in the press box. I'll be there for the World Series. I was there in the All-Star game and so on. But most of the time I'm there in the stands, so I tend to think of matters more in that regard. And there was this great thing that happened yesterday of Mark Teixeira, who has generally been kind of cranky all year. Gabe Guarente, one of the editor at Sports on Earth, pointed out to me that Mark Teixeira spent most of the year yelling at people, like at umpires or fans or other players. Mark Teixeira, for having such a bounce-back year, seems to be very cranky this year. So he was particularly cranky yesterday because he went into the stands for a foul ball and he missed it. But before he could get himself out of the stands, the fan who saw the ball immediately lunged for it while ignoring, either not noticing, I think not noticing. I don't think he was like purposely trying to knock Mark Teixeira out of the way for the ball. I just think he saw the ball and like the dog it up when he saw the squirrel, just went squirrel and just like went for the ball. Knocked over, didn't, I mean, it's Mark Teixeira, he's a big dude, but still, this guy gets injured all the time. You could conceivably, you know, I mean, it'd be frustrating to miss the playoffs because one guy needed the ball really fast. Teixeira yelled at him and it was kind of a whole thing. I saw some people going after Teixeira for this. I have to say, it is, and I get it, you know, like every time I'm in the stands for a game, I see a ball and I immediately go for it. And I forget, like, oh, whoops, my child is behind me. I just knocked over my one-year-old. Like, you don't notice things like that. But I'm curious, like, foul balls are kind of useless. Like, once you get one, you're like, oh, now I got to carry this ball around the rest of the game. You're going to lose it. You never have it. But when you, in the moment as a fan, it's like a desperate thing to get one. Do you have that feel? Did you, like, I know when you don't go to, when you're in the press box, I guess people just duck or hide their computers from them. But
yeah.
But like, do you remember that feeling of like needing a ball like really bad? Why do we have this like almost instinctive thing for it?
Well, yeah, the thing that kind of surprised me about the Teixeira incident was that the fan backed off when he was trying to make the catch. So he totally did what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And then in the aftermath, then he saw the ball bouncing around. And I thought Teixeira, I was like, dude, like, relax. I mean, I get it. He's been hurt a lot and the guy knocked him in his head and it kind of maybe, you know, shook him a little bit, but it does seem like what's wrong with you? I mean, it just happened. And like, if you see the ball bouncing around, I mean, he's not trying to knock Teixeira out of the way. He's not even paying attention to him. He's just trying to get the ball.
Yeah, but isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? Like, there's a baseball player right there.
Yeah. No, that was weird. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I really don't understand what goes through people's minds because I've never been in a situation where I've been that close to a foul ball where it would really, you know, be something that if I was in the stands and the ball like bounced anywhere near me, my instinct would not be to go for it because I feel like there were going to be eight people falling on me and I would be worried that I was going to get hurt. But I realized that other people, especially other people from the other gender, probably just kind of go for it, and that's what it is. You know, I mean, it's a very cool souvenir. I think that most people don't look at it as something that, like, you know, they lose interest in a half an hour later. I mean, you know, my brother came in for the World Series when the Astros were in it, and I mean, after the game three, I get home, he's sitting in my house, and he's got two balls. He got a foul ball during the game, and he got a home run ball during batting practice. And I mean, you know, he was obviously probably pretty aggressive in getting those, and he's got them on display to this day. So, you know, I don't know what the lure is so much, but I thought Teixeira was just a little bit out of line with the way he reacted. And the thing that really made me laugh was in the same game with Brett Gardner in left field. So they throw the home run ball back. And, or I don't know if this is the same game, the same series.
It's the same game.
Okay. And then he like doesn't react at all. He gets hit and he just stands there stoic. He doesn't look back. He just pretends it didn't happen. I know because he was probably in a little bit of pain, but that was like the complete polar opposite from how Teixeira reacted. It was just a very bizarre incident.
Yeah. I also love the fact that we have just generally accepted that it's okay to throw home run balls back so much. That fan who hit one of the own players with the ball that he threw on the field was not ejected.
It's not like he.
I don't think he meant to do it. No question. He didn't do it. But it's hard to think of a thing that you could do that could potentially be more disruptive to a baseball game than hitting a player with a ball.
Right. I personally, like, and I've gotten into it with Astros fans on Twitter, and it's hilarious because if I am in the stands in the outfield and I get a home run ball from the opposing team, I'm absolutely 100% not throwing it back. Like, I am keeping that thing. And everyone's like, you can't, because everyone around you is going to be really mad. I'm like, I literally stopped caring about what people think of me in that respect, like, when I was 22 years old. Like, if there's some, you know, Joe Blow stranger that's sitting near me and he thinks less of me because I'm not throwing it back, like, there's literally, like, I can't think of five more things that I would care less about. And the fact that you have to conform, and it's a Wrigley Field thing. And so if I'm at Minute Maid Park, I'm sorry, but Minute Maid Park is not Wrigley Field. And if I'm at Minute Maid Park, where there's no traditions there when it comes to this stuff, I'm not throwing it back just because Cubs fans started doing it 40 years ago. People need to start thinking for themselves. Just do what you want and stop worrying about everyone else.
I like when people bring the fake ball. That's actually I like when people bring the fake ball. I think that is that. I think if you have enough forethought to bring the fake ball and throw that, I think that's actually okay.
Like,
if,
yeah,
like, that's a lot of effort to carry a baseball around with you all day, just in case there's this 1 in 50,000 chance that you
get
the ball. I think that's reasonable.
Exactly. I mean, you've got like no shot to get the ball, and yet there you are with a glove and a fake ball. Like, I mean, all the more power to you, man.
Yeah. Like, can we agree that we don't like Zach Hample? He's that guy. He's that gross man that gets all the baseballs. Can we agree we don't like that guy?
Yeah, I don't like that guy.
Yeah, I mean, see, apparently he does some nice things for charity, and so whenever someone like does something really lame, like the owner always comes back with, "Yeah, well, he does it for charity." Well, fine. If he wanted, he could just give money for charity on the side privately and not tell me about it, and then maybe not just be an asshat that takes balls from little kids all the time. But anyway, let's
yeah, he shouldn't be taking it from little kids. But I found like it was hilarious that he like caught the A-Rod ball, and that everyone was outraged that A-Rod wasn't gonna. I mean, you know how I feel about A-Rod. I'm like,
I do.
Really? Wow. So A-Rod's not gonna get what he wants. It's like so unfortunate. My God, please give me a break.
I have to tell you, I do know a lot of people that if it comes down to between A-Rod and Zach Hample, the people are rooting for the meteor. I don't think there's really any question that people are rooting for the meteor to hit the earth and knock them both out.
Yeah, that's true.
So one, now I kind of transition to another thing. It's kind of about fans a little bit, because I always feel like one of the most underrated rowdy fan bases are the Blue Jays. There was a stretch. I remember when I was doing Deadspin, and there was this, we did this series of like, you know, I mean, it was the early days of Deadspin. It was a time where like, if you found a YouTube video of a fight in the stands, you're like, whoa, this is
right.
Like the Shroud of Turin. Now, of course, that everyone's filming it while it's happening, and the guys in the fight are filming it. But one of the things that I always noticed, there were an unusually high number of fights in the stands at Rogers Center or Sky Dome, whatever you want to call it. Like, for whatever reason, I don't know why that is. It doesn't seem to be the case in basketball. It doesn't seem to be the case in the CFL. But for whatever reason, I do not know Toronto baseball culture well enough to know why. But there always seem to be a lot of fights in the stands at Toronto games. And so the Blue Jays are the story in baseball right now. And I mentioned a couple times that, like, well, why is this? And a lot of people are like, well, Toronto fans are angry. They've had a long period. They haven't been able to do anything. They're frustrated. They always go and see the Yankees fans take over their stadium and so on. So now the Blue Jays are having this moment. They're having a moment. They've won 8 in a row. They've swept the Yankees over the weekend. They've got all these star players. Everyone's so excited. Here's my question for you. As a observer of the game of baseball, as someone that has no real horse in this race, you are not a Blue Jays fan. Nizola is not a Blue Jays fan. I'm not a Blue Jays fan. Are you happy for your average Blue Jays fan, or do you just not know enough of them to have a thought about it?
I'm always happy for a fan. I mean, I don't know if this is a lame answer, but I'm always happy for
a theoretical fan.
For the fan of the team whose team hasn't been to the playoffs in their lifetime or since they were four or whatever. I mean, I'm always like the underdog. I was like totally like, you know, on board with the Royals last year because it was like this great story. And it was this, you know, a fan base that had been suffering and a fan base that had been terrible for a long time, but a really good traditional sports town. And so I was, you know, pretty excited about that. And really, I mean, honestly, the last time I really paid attention to the Jays was when Joe Carter was like winning the World Series for him. And, you know, I was from the Midwest, and then I moved to Houston and actually Toronto. That happens to be the only stadium in the country that I have not been to yet. So, but yeah, I mean, I think it's really cool because they've tried in the last couple of years to actually, you know, make all these like crazy moves that are supposed to be putting them in contention, and then something doesn't happen. And so I think it'd be like really neat for that team to do something and to go far into the playoffs and whatever. I mean, why not? You know, we haven't seen them around, so it's something different. It's something else. It's something that isn't the Yankees and the Red Sox, so like I'm totally for it.
See, it's funny. I feel like that it's funny to see teams, get away from the Blue Jays for a moment, that have crossed over into that. Like, I almost feel like it will be more interesting to see the Yankees if they make the playoffs this year, because they've been gone for a while. Because I always thought the same thing. I don't want to see the Yankees in the playoffs every year. I don't want to see the Red Sox in the playoffs every year. I didn't want to see the Tigers in the playoffs every year. If I wasn't a Cardinals fan, I'd be sick of seeing the Cardinals in the playoffs every year. And at a certain level, one of the things, I even look at like the National League, like at the beginning of the year, it looked like it was going to be, it may still well be, Dodgers, Nationals, Cardinals, and then we'll see who the two wildcard teams is, and one of them may be the Giants we see every year anyway. So for me, it's exciting to see a team like the Mets or the Cubs, if they weren't the Cubs, being this new team to get in the playoffs. And in the American League, on one hand, it's funny how we're already like, yep, there's Kansas City there again. Like you have 1 year, and already they don't feel that new in a lot of ways. Whereas the Yankees, to me, the Blue Jays obviously feel the most new because they haven't been away for so long. But this Yankees team feels like it has so little similarity to like those old Yankees teams. It almost feels like a new team.
Yeah, you're kind of looking at them like, how are you doing this? I mean, I looked at the team like the beginning of the year, and I was like, well, they're too old and they're banged up. They've had like, you know, so many guys are in the lineup, the rotation, that have shown in the last few years that they can't stay healthy all year. And it just didn't seem like, I mean, I don't see, you know, some people see the AL East as like this great parity where, you know, anything can happen. And I just see it as like a lot of weak teams that are canceling each other out, which is fine because you can still win a division that way. But yeah, so I am pretty fascinated by the Yankees because yeah, it's not like the Yankees of, you know, several years ago where they were annoying because they were so good. It's like, you're like, how are you still good? I don't really get this. That's fine.
Yeah, and like a nice thing too is, and we've talked about this before, the idea of the fun thing about seeing teams like Kansas City in Pittsburgh in the playoffs when they hadn't been in a long time is their fans lost their damn minds about it. Like they were right. So happy they'd waited for so long. I think we'll see a little bit of that Toronto. This brings to me to you and Nizola's period of your area of specialties. We'll call it specialties. Not an actual word, but we're just going to say it. Your area of specialties, the Astros. Are their fans going to be nuts like the way that if they end up hosting a playoff game, which right now, frankly, they're very close to not doing. Right. Like, I looked at the stands. I was like, shoot, they're only a half game up on them, and they're tied with the Yankees, and theoretically they could end up not hosting a playoff game, which I think would really stink, but we'll cover that later. If the Astros host a playoff game, is their crowd going to be hyped the way that Pittsburgh and Kansas City's were?
I mean, it's hard to say. Like, I mean, the years that they hosted playoff games, which it's not like it's been that long. I mean, it's been 10 years just since they've been in the playoffs. But before that, they were constantly in the playoffs. And so it's not like with the Pirates and the Royals, where this is like an entire generation of people that literally did not exist the last time that they were in the postseason. But yeah, I mean, I think that they're going to be around the same as they were, you know, 15 years ago when they were perennial contenders, and the place will be packed and the roof will probably be closed. And I think that I don't think that people have totally gotten back to being Astros fans like they were back then, because they were off of the television screen for 2 years. And I know I keep bringing that up, but that is a huge point, a part of what has happened to baseball in Houston. So I don't think it's completely back, and I don't think it's completely in people's minds. I think the start of football season hurts them more now than it used to 10 years ago, because they just, I mean, and the Texans are actually a pretty good team, you know, they're pretty decent. So that's all works against them. But as far as like filling the ballpark, I mean, they'll be able to fill the ballpark. I don't think it'll be like a more subdued crowd. I think it'll be as loud as ever. But as far as like the entire city being on board with the Astros, there's still a lot of work to do.
Right, it'll be more like, it'll be better than like when Tampa Bay sold out the stadium for their playoff games.
Yes.
But not Pittsburgh crazy.
Yeah, no, because people are, I mean, the Astros are getting good crowds in the summer. They're really doing things like so well this year in terms of marketing and promoting these games. They're having events just at the right time. They had a whole Biggio giveaway weekend right after the Hall of Fame ceremony. He wasn't there. It didn't matter. I mean, the crowds are amazing. They're doing a lot of things really, really well, and they're getting people in the ballpark. But the thing that bothers me about the Rays, and really the Marlins more than the Rays, back before the Marlins in their new ballpark, but that it would be an empty stadium. I mean, the Rays have massive massive traffic problems. There's actually logistic reasons why people are not going to that ballpark. The Marlins, there wasn't that kind of excuse. And that's, it really just kind of made my stomach turn when I'd see them in the playoffs and the place was packed and all these like angst-ridden Marlins fans. I'm like, oh my God, like you literally haven't shown up to the ballpark in a decade. And that's not the case with the Astros. They come out, you know, even when there's no reason to come out.
Yeah, because that's what I want. Like, you know, that when we are 2 months, less than 2 months away now. To the playoffs, I'm already kind of like planning out, like this, the, you know, Labor Day is coming, and once Labor Day is going, next thing you know, it's Thanksgiving. Like things just get flying really fast. So I've got to plan it all out, and so I find myself already looking. Okay, where are those playoff games going to be? How loud is it going to be? And all I want, you're right, is not to have that Florida thing, and not
right.
to have. Not
yes.
To, I think even Cincinnati hosted a playoff game, and it was like three quarters full. Like that's just not what you want.
Or the Braves. I mean, the Braves stopped selling out the division series like halfway through that historic run. People weren't even coming out anymore until they got to the LCS.
Yeah, exactly. Don't worry, though. At the new stadium, that'll happen. It'll just happen by like the sixth inning when everyone can actually get there.
Yes.
But let's not get into that. But like to look, like when I look around to who's got a chance to make playoffs this year, like Houston, we've talked about. The Angels, always like pretty solid playoffs if they get in. If Texas gets in, they'll all lose their mind because they won't be able to believe they came all the way back. Kansas City is going to be crazy. The Yankees, like, I feel like the Yankees, they like their fans aren't so much hyped in that little, in that kind of like mausoleum museum place that they have now. But
yeah.
It's still Yankee Stadium. Like, it's still going to be a thing. And Toronto, like, to me, Toronto, I'm curious to see what the fan base is like there. Like, how, I mean, this is a fan dream right now. You got your team getting the best, one of the best pitchers in baseball, one of the best hitters in baseball, and you guys are just flooring it and going for it down the stretch. This is what every fan wants.
I think it's awesome. Right. No, I think that we're going to see very enthusiastic crowds. I think we're seeing a packed ballpark. I think people, you know, I've never had any question about their fan base or how much they care about baseball up there. I mean, we've talked a lot about Montreal, but I don't think that you can count on Toronto in any way, shape, or form. It's just they're so far away from the rest of us that we tend to not think about them a whole lot. But I think that we're going to see a lot of what we saw 20-some years ago when they were, you know, right in the thick of things. I think I have to get my passport updated. I was just about to say that
because Craig Calcaterra from Hardball Talk just mentioned on Twitter this morning that he had forgotten to update his passport.
Yeah.
And it takes like a couple months. So you can rush it. You can pay like an extra $100 or something and they can rush it. But I would recommend looking into that because I was actually just going to bring that up is that because I think there's a bunch of sports stars that'd be like, wait, crap, you need a passport for Toronto now?
Yeah.
And you do. So, yes, I would recommend after this podcast to make sure that I do see you at the World Series if they make it, is update that passport. Update that passport.
I'm assuming that would be like a fireable offense. Like, you can't go cover the World Series because you can't get into the country.
There's no way you're the only person that is in this boat. There are literally two of the people I know best in the world of covering baseball, you and Craig, both now I've come across this issue. So you can't be the only ones. It's a good sign that people that work in baseball need to undergo more intercontinental travel.
Right. Yes, exactly.
So you've already said. But that's what I mean. Like everywhere else, the Dodgers are going to be amped. The Cardinals will be amped. Pittsburgh will be crazy. Wrigley will be nuts if they have a game there. City Field, I think, will be a lunatic asylum if they host a playoff game. And Washington, you know, I mean, they'll come out like they usually do.
So, you know what? I don't. Yeah.
Do you want to rip on Washington? Do you want to rip on Washington?
No, I don't think that they have.
Yes, love it. I love when people rip on Washington. I can't rip on Washington baseball anymore because Dan Steinberg gets mad at me when I do it so often. But I do it all the time. So please, if you want to rip on Washington Nationals fans, please do so now.
No. I'm not ripping on their fans at all.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I just don't think that I look at them and I think they are. I'm not sure that they're going to be able to pull this out because they are like. Not able. I think we talked about this last week. It just doesn't seem like they're able to relax and handle the bad times along with the good times. I think Matt Williams is wound way too tight. It just seems like they are setting themselves up for a complete and utter disaster, or they could, you know, just go on some kind of tear. But I don't think that they have the right personnel, you know, just from a personality standpoint, to be able to get through what they need to get through to win this thing. I think it's hilarious.
If the Mets win that division,
and
the Nationals don't make the playoffs. Like, Matt Williams will be, he will. I don't think he will be a manager next year.
No, I
that's a
mean,
fair
there's
assessment. That's a fair assessment.
right. That's I mean, really, I don't remember who wrote it. I was just reading an article. Like, really, what has he done right since kind of messing up the playoffs last year? And then he gets manager of the year because, of course, that's just based on regular season. And what has he done to like separate himself from the pack since then? And I don't think that there's a whole lot that he's actually done that could be looked at as like, you know, being deserving of being in this situation.
It's weird too because a lot of those young-ish managers, not that Matt Williams is that young, but he's like young-ish, those guys that played relatively recently and don't have a lot of managerial experience. Part of
Right.
their thing is supposed to be we relate so well with the players. We get along
Yeah.
so well with the players. But you see Brad Ausmus, I am not the craziest fan of Mike Matheny's strategy choices as manager of the Cardinals, but the players love him. And he's considered one of them. He's clearly good in the clubhouse with those guys. And as much as someone like me thinks a lot of that's overrated, it certainly matters. It certainly makes a
Yes.
difference. And it's not zero to any stretch of the imagination. So when you see someone like Williams, who theoretically part of the reason he's hired is because he's supposed to be able to relate and get on with these guys, fights with Harper. They seem to have all sorts of mess in there. Like I wonder if they don't make the playoffs this year, if Williams will maybe go down as one of those like Jim Essien-esque like all-time terrible managers. Because it's
Yeah,
really
because
bad.
you
This is
think,
like he had so much talent, and
right.
they blow in the first round of the playoffs, and then if they don't make it this year, yikes.
Because, I mean, you could say, like, oh, well, they've had all these injuries. Well, look at the Cardinals. My God, they lost some of their best, and they're about to win 104 games. I mean, so it can be done. And the Nationals are deep. They have a deep organization. I mean, they should be able to get through some of this. And so that's sort of a crutch. I think it's just kind of a cop-out. To say that, you know, well, we'll see how many wins they end up with. But yeah, I mean, this team at the beginning of the season was like, are they ever going to lose? Like, are they going to lose ever? And they're certainly falling way under expectations.
I still feel like I have to say I still think I know I agree with what you're saying. I still feel like they're gonna win the division. I feel like
Yeah.
Strasburg's back, and Wirth's back. Some of these guys are getting healthy. Zimmerman's hitting really well. I really want, for the record, I am actively rooting for the Mets to win the division for the same
Me
reason
too.
that we talked about earlier. Like it's good to have new blood. City Field will be so much fun. It'll be an exciting thing. It's a team that I think the Cardinals can beat more easily than they can beat the Nationals. Another reason I'm rooting for the Mets. So I feel like that is like I want the Mets to do it, but I just kind of feel like it's gonna like I'll put it this way: if the Mets were gonna break their fa if the Mets were gonna blow, find another reason to blow it and kill their fans, this is how they would do it. They'd make this
Right.
great deadline. Everyone would get so excited. We get really fired up about it, and they get ahead. They have this lead, and then they would blow it down the last week. That's exactly how they would do it. Mets fans let their guard down. They got excited about Cespedes. They got into the Flores thing, and they let their guard down like they always do. Because they're not like Red Sox fans used to be. Red Sox fans were just angry before they won the World Series. They were never they were just angry. They're not like Cubs fans because Cubs fans are generally happy whether they're happier if the Cubs win, but they're never like angry and bitter the way that like Red Sox fans were
Right,
during
because
the
the
World
Cubs
Series.
fans just take that as like part of being a Cubs fan. Like,
Exactly. So like they have a better attitude about it. But Mets fans have this like fatalistic attitude until the Mets are winning, and then they are the happiest people you will ever find in your life. And then they start losing. They're like, "See, this is what we do. We lose. We knew this was happening." It's like they want to be miserable, but the fact that they keep believing when something good happens is why Mets fans are so great, and that's why I root for them. It's why I always want them to, because they believe they're not like. Like they're victim. They're kind of like self-victimizing, but in like a really optimistic way that I kind of love and find myself always kind of rooting for Mets fans that way.
Wow.
Yeah, I
I
do.
haven't, I have to say, well, I have not given that much thought to the
Yeah, well,
Mets.
I think about Mets. I think of this all the time. If just because again, like as a Cardinal fan, I find myself thinking about okay, is this other team's fan base as justified in hating this us as they are? And because generally everybody does now, and some teams I feel like have the right to. The Mets fans do, Nationals fans do, Pirates fans do, Dodgers fans definitely do, and Reds fans and a lot of teams in the division. But I feel like I feel like it's made me kind of understand the Mets fan mindset a little bit, and like they are as I do the tortured fan base rankings every year, and I feel like the Mets, they. Suffering is part of being a Mets fan. So I think about that stuff all the time. So I want them
Well,
to win.
yeah, and it's also like there's just a complex about the Yankees. I mean, I know that there's a lot of competition just between the front offices of the teams, and there's like a strong dislike with a lot of the people. And so it's got to like really just, I mean, it's got to be tough for the Mets fans just to see that the Yankees are, you know, have so much of a better chance every single year than they ever will. So,
including this year when the Yankees are supposed to be bad.
Right, exactly.
And it's all turning out for them again. Okay, the last thing I want to talk about, we'll just get into it next week. I was going to talk about the rookie thing. Jeff Passan wrote a really good piece about all the great rookies in the league this year. We can get into that next week. I want to ask you one other thing. This is the last Astros Nizola related question of the week. I watch the Astros. I watch every Cardinals game, but like, you know, I think the Astros are a great league pass team because they have like a lot of interesting young players, and they're new, and it's just kind of a new thing going on. But I still feel like I've not watched enough Carlos Correa. Like, I feel like, you know, you're seeing people talking already as one of the top 5 or 10 players in baseball. You've watched more of him on a regular basis than I have. What is it you see from seeing him as just a regular? Like, I remember when Pujols came to the Cardinals, we got the Pujols thing about 2 years before everybody else did. Because you just saw, oh, wow, like, this guy's does this every day. And so what is it about Correa that, like, jumps out at you immediately that he's been in the league for 2 months and people already talked to him, one of the best players in baseball?
Well, yeah. I mean, when you just look at his swing and you see what he's doing, having really so little experience facing major league pitching, what it does in my mind is I think to myself, what is going to happen when he actually is comfortable? Right. Because he doesn't seem to be uncomfortable at all. And he's still making adjustments. He's still, you know, kind of adjusting to the whole major league thing. So, yes, I mean, offensively, I'm like, this guy could be, you know, once in a generation kind of player. When I watch him play defense, that is what is completely mind boggling. I mean, the plays that he's making, the range that he has, the timing that he has, the instincts, And he just looks like a player that is much, much older than he is, much more experienced. So when you think about the fact that he's 20 years old, and he's going to be 21 in September, so he does have a birthday coming up. But just watching what he's doing and seeing, you never get a feeling, like even when he tries to make some, you know, amazing play and it doesn't quite work, it's still like more than anybody else could do at that position. And so I feel like, once he gets into a groove, once he gets comfortable, like it's just going to be explosive. He is. He's definitely one of the top players right now, and I just can't imagine. He's just, you hear, you know, people tend to get a little bit overboard when they talk about the only kind of person that a player is when everyone wants him to be something great. But Carlos Correa is a brilliant kid. He's so well adjusted. He is so mature. He doesn't seem to be overwhelmed by anything. And he's also having himself a good old time. And I think that's, you know, I think we're going to see him as a super duper star for about, you know, 15 more years.
It's always amazing to me when I see these guys. They use that phrase that you put, they're never overwhelmed by everything. And, like, he's 20. Like, I am 39, and I find myself, like, constantly overwhelmed by everything that are not nearly as overwhelming as playing Major League Baseball on an everyday basis.
Right.
Like, it's really just wild. Cause, like, and I hope that, like, you know, it's funny, like, for the first year of Trout, because it was on the West Coast, and you heard a little bit more about people were a little bit more excited about Harper and Cabrera was putting up these Triple Crown numbers that, like, it took us a couple years to realize, holy crap, Mike Trout is like, the stat guys always knew Trout was the best, but, like, it took us everyone else a couple years to realize, oh wow, this is the best player in the world. And I wonder if it's going to be like that with Correa, just because also, like, Trout didn't play a lot of playoff games, so, like, I wonder if another reason I hope the Astros make the playoffs is, A, you and I will have plenty to talk about, right. And B, like, I want to see Correa in that spotlight, and I want everyone else to see him that way. Because I don't remember, even Trout stunk for his first month in the majors.
Right. No, there's a lot of players that really struggle when they first come up, and it's kind of expected. And I think that just when you have a player who is so elite defensively already, I think that's what, like, really takes your breath away. You go, okay, this is, like, the greatest player. Like, Albert Pujols, and, I mean, nothing against him whatsoever. It was his bat, though. I mean, he did not want to miss the bat because he was, like, the most feared hitter for a decade running. You know, but he's a first baseman, and it's not like he's, like, some acrobat out there in the field. I mean, he is who he is. He's bigger, and he's a first baseman. But when you see somebody like a Trout and a Correa, and they're just, like, just doing superhuman things at their position, in addition to being these wonderful hitters, that's what really sets them apart from everyone. And they're just a pleasure to watch.
All right. Well, All right. Well, I look for, hopefully, as I said, we're going to be. We'll talk again next week. Hopefully, the Astros and the Cardinals will have gained like 5 games on their current leads, because I'm starting to sweat a little bit. I know the Cardinals have a 5-game lead, and I know that's a lot, but the Pirates are so good. The Pirates are so good, and the Astros, they're only a 1/2-game lead. I want any uncertainty about this cleared up for both myself and you and Nizola. And so
I appreciate that, Will. I would like to say that I am pulling for your team as much as
you are. So thank you. And you are. You're welcome. Thank you. I appreciate your support.
I
appreciate it. Yes. You are. Are you really?
No, I'm pulling for the Pirates.
I thought I had you.
I root for the Pirates every single year. I root for the Pirates. Yeah, and I continue to do that.
Yeah. Like it's funny because, you know, the Cardinals have had all these rivals over the past few years. It's been really fun. Like, it was fun hating the Reds, and I didn't really hate the Brewers, but, like, you know, they were a good rival in a lot of ways. And the Cubs, you know, the Cardinals had their own thing, but the Pirates are not only really good and not only have overcome like all two decades of struggle, but they are really likable. Like, that Pirates team is like, there's just not an unlikable guy on that team. Even Neil Walker is from Pittsburgh, for crying out loud. Like, they've just got all these likable players, and it's just gonna be that much more painful when the Cardinals beat them in the playoffs again. So all right, thank you, Allison. We'll talk again next week. We'll get settled in, but thanks for chatting with me, and we'll be back. We'll be back next week. Thanks for hanging out with me.
Thank you, Will.
Okay, follow Allison Footer as always at Allison Footer, AlysonFooter. We will be back, I believe, on Thursday with Andy Behrens, our annual fantasy football, big fantasy football preview, because I have to pretend that I have to acknowledge other sports. Football is coming. People watch it, apparently. People watch a stupid, horrible Hall of Fame game at rates of it's a drug, that game, and you're all addicted. Anyway, we'll talk fantasy football with Andy Behrens next week. Thanks, Allison. I'll talk to you all then. Be safe.